This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Two men in critical condition this morning after a shooting in West Philadelphia. Happened about 8 o'clock last night. Police responding to that shooting and 911 calls along the 700 block. This is South 58th Street after hearing shots fired in that area. Police say they found two young men suffering gunshot wounds, an 18-year-old shot in the chest, forearm, in the buttocks, the shoulder, a 24-year-old also shot in the upper body as well as his head. Both young men in critical condition this morning, and no word on a motive. Ballistics here, they're still getting all of this information as far as firearms, all of that. No arrests in this case. And then we had a student at St. Joseph's University injured after being struck by a car. This is Montgomery County last night. The traffic was all closed on City Ave if you were in that vicinity about 8 o'clock last night. This is technically Lower Marion Township, but authorities say the driver did remain on the scene after the crash, and the victim was rushed right there to Lankenau Hospital, which is nearby, but still in critical condition this morning. No word yet on what led to the collision or if charges are being filed. We don't have much on this, just that it's a St. Joseph's University student critically injured, struck by that car last night. The Aramark Union, by the way, if you're going down to the ballpark tonight for our hopefully we're grabbing the bye week and winning this one against the Cubs tonight, but Aramark Union still striking those big inflatable rats out there and striking workers, asking you, yes, please go cheer on the Phils, but as well, please bring your own food and drinks and tailgating. Aramark releasing statements saying they have worked with the union, they have been generous with the union, and they continue to do so. So we're following that one for you.
You mentioned yesterday inflatable rat, and you mentioned it multiple times, and I think, I don't know, for some reason I remember you saying it, but I didn't ask. What is the relevance behind the inflatable rat? Is that their mask? Is that their logo? What is that?
No, the rat, I think the rat is symbolic of, first of all, reminding anybody who is inside and will work and be a so-called union scab. I think that's part of it.
Scab and a sellout.
So the sign of, you know, hey,
okay,
you're not showing solidarity, you're a rat, or as well, I think it's just calling out those who, aren't loyal to the unions.
Okay.
And to generalize.
Great. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
There's a whole history to it. We'll get into it.
Okay.
Former union boss John Dougherty, Johnny Doc, reporting to federal prison today to begin serving his 6-year sentence in federal prison on his convictions on corruption, among other things. So that's another headline this morning. And the Biden-Harris administration announcing they're sending more troops to the Middle East as tensions rise. We talked about this yesterday as people in Lebanon are being warned to get out. And as well, American State Department has raised the level to level 3 as far as the safety risks and travel risks to that region or to get out, because soon they predict you won't be able to get a commercial flight.
Yeah, I can't imagine whether you're Jewish or Middle Eastern as an American resident, having the actual guts to even want to fly over to that region of the world right now. You know, I go, oh, my family, my dying in-law, whatever it is. I mean, yeah. You wouldn't get me within three countries of that entire region right now.
Yeah, one of my girlfriends, her husband, grew up in Lebanon, Beirut.
Yep.
That has the largest Catholic Christian population.
Is that right?
Of any of the Middle East countries.
Wow, I did not know that.
So all of her in-laws are there.
Okay.
And you mentioned elderly folks. You know, many people say, this is my home.
Right.
But there are many in America and this region that are very worried about their loved ones, begging them.
Yeah.
Let us fly you out. Let us get you out of there.
Absolutely.
So we're following that as tensions rise. I know we're going to get into the letter, so-called, and the Ryan Ruth and the latest in the court proceedings yesterday.
That basically had Democrat talking points all in it.
Oh, my gosh.
It could have been a script for MSNBC.
I was just
honest
thinking
to God,
the same thing.
Yeah. It could have been a script for MSNBC.
Did Kristen Welker pen that?
Why is the accused attempted assassin, why does he have a letter when usually it's a manifesto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you notice that? But this is just a letter.
Right. And it was just conveniently in a box. And then he just randomly stopped writing. He didn't finish. It was like I was typing my big take and all of a sudden I had to get the girls off the bus and I forgot to finish writing my big take. Bizarre.
Is this a personal? This is for an audience of one.
That's happened a couple of times, folks.
And I saw this headline early this morning that an Idaho man is now charged with threatening to kill Trump. These were phone calls to Mar-a-Lago. He's identified as Warren Jones Crazy Bull, made at least 9 threatening phone calls to the former president's residence, this according to court documents. So I know we'll talk about all of this and above as we get through the day. Want to talk about our Phillies, but we are sponsored by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. They're all in one platform helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We also have a sponsor for our big Phillies victory. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring the Phillies as we finally, 13 years later, clinch the NL East crown last night at home, Citizens Bank Park.
The last time they did that, I had a full head of hair and I was doing sports, Dawn. And my kids were 3 years, not even born.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how long ago that was. Feels like a different lifetime ago.
I know, you know, their store is always open. I would love to run today and just get some goodies.
And gear.
You know, because some of the gear there you can't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have the new shirts.
Yep.
But it is exciting. You should get them for your daughters. That's
cool. They're starting to pick up on it. They're like, so the Phillies are the baseball team and the Eagles are the football team. And I'm like, yes, that's enough for today. We'll teach you about the internet tomorrow.
They have bracelets.
Yeah, they do. Yep. Yeah, I think the Phillies are one of 5 teams that can win it. Phillies, yeah. Dodgers, Brewers, Yankees, Guardians.
But we're the one.
Yeah.
So we beat the Cubs 6-2 last night. Got a win again tonight, as Greg Stocker pointed out, to earn that bye week. Very important. And the good news is the numbers are on our side to do so. We have the best home record in the entire MLB this season. So hopefully we get her done and get that bye.
But here's the important question on the show for all of us.
Yeah.
If we get a Yankees-Phillies World Series, how do we treat our partner in the back, Phil Omquist?
I mean, we have to make bets with him.
I mean, right? Is he like the rat at Aramark now? we'll have an inflatable Phil?
I love it. We are sponsored by Piazza Auto Group. Take on the road in a stylish new Mazda. Get 0% APR 36 months on select new models like the 2024 CX-30, CX-5, and Mazda 3. Discover which is right for you at Piazza Mazda of Westchester, Reading. Online always, PiazzaMazda.com, PIAZZA. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our great Phillies victory, clinching the NL East crown. And as well, the forecast remaining cool today. So a cool 71 degrees today, much the same from yesterday. We will begin to heat up and probably get some of the tropical weather, because obviously we have it's hurricane season, and I know that the Gulf Coast in Florida, our friends there are bracing for this huge storm, Helen, that's hitting, Hurricane Helen, that's aiming for South Florida. So watching that one very carefully. Kale and Company, News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:14 Tuesday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you this morning by Budget Blinds, America at War, domestic and foreign. The United States is a powder keg waiting to ignite at any moment. And I don't believe that is hyperbole. That is the state of affairs in America after the latest revelations on Monday. New details emerging in the second assassination attempt of Donald Trump. The DOJ releasing evidence that included a letter from Ryan Ruth, handwritten, offering $150,000 to anyone who would kill Donald Trump. The letter, which ends abruptly and incomplete, states the following, quote, "This was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I am so sorry I failed you. I tried my best and gave it all the gumption I could muster. It is up to you now to finish the job, and I will offer $150,000 to whomever can complete the job. Everyone across the globe, from the youngest to the oldest, knows that Trump is unfit to be anything, much less a U.S. president. U.S. presidents must, at bare minimum, embody the moral fabric that is America and be kind, caring, and selfless, and always stand for humanity. Trump fails to understand any of ... And then the letter just ends like that. So first, we had Butler, PA in July with a 20-year-old. Second was the West Palm Beach attempt in September on Trump's golf course. But according to Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, there's at least five teams in the United States currently with the sole objective of taking out Trump. Listen and watch this.
I'll break a little news for you. I had a senior official from the Department of Homeland Security in my office before the second assassination attempt, saying that what he has assessed is that there are five known assassination teams in the United States, three inspired by other governments, two that are here that are known domestic assassination teams. And with that, this individual was coming to me concerned that the force protection around President Trump, even prior to that second assassination attempt, was not sufficient for what it needed to be. And the coordination at that level, at the dignitary protection level, is like the bare minimum that we have to do to keep our presidents, our presidential candidates safe while they're on the trail.
So it is 2024, and we have a former president who is reportedly on a kill list as if he's Osama bin Laden? How is that possible? According to Breitbart, the three foreign teams emanate from Iran, Ukraine, and Pakistan. And isn't it ironic that as America revs up the war machine again, the man who was anti-war and didn't want to keep funding the military-industrial complex is suddenly now in the crosshairs, literally? And why are we hearing about so much pushback from the federal agencies? Why the lack of transparency, communication, and teamwork at the state or local level to solve these acts and to make sure they never occur again? How have these kill teams not been taken out yet? Florida Governor Ron DeSantis claims that his state is being stonewalled by the feds after the second attempt on Trump's life. Listen and watch this.
The answer is no, they're not being cooperative. Yes, I am concerned. I mean, for example, we were rebuffed, our investigators were rebuffed just going to the fence line outside of Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. And so I think they've taken the position, you know, they don't want the state of Florida to be involved in this. But here's the thing. There were multiple violations of Florida law across multiple jurisdictions. We think at least three judicial circuits this guy, Ryan Routh, committed potential violations of Florida law. So we have a duty to investigate this. We have a duty to bring the appropriate charges. And we also have a duty to inform the public about how this happened. So I don't anticipate They're being cooperative. I think that they've just taken that position. And I think that that's unfortunate because even though I've been very clear, state of Florida is going to do an investigation, you know, I've not disputed their right to also investigate. It's the federal government. He was in their protective custody as a presidential candidate. But let us do this. So hopefully that tune will change. But I can tell you right now, Laura, we have not gotten a lot of receptive response.
Meanwhile, you'd think we would have reached the point where Democrats would tone down the rhetoric, right? Wrong. Listen and watch this.
I wanted to know if you think it's time for Democrats to stop calling Trump a threat to democracy.
No, fact of the matter is that he is a threat to democracy.
No, I think we should be clear that he is a threat to democracy.
Do you think that the rhetoric, though, needs to be toned down?
I think his rhetoric should be toned down, absolutely.
Listen, these are the facts. He is a threat, period, point blank.
That was Jayapal Crockett and Hank Johnson of Georgia. Jayapal and Crockett, the two kind of Dems who always claim a community is under attack from words, but when a Republican is under attack physically by action, well, it's up to Trump to tone it down. Peak Dem hypocrisy. And over the weekend, we also found out new details about the July 13th incident in Pennsylvania with Thomas Matthew Crooks, as the Secret Service is now saying that vital info was not relayed over radio, which delayed the response time to the would-be assassin. Acting director Ronald Rowe claiming that there was, quote, communication deficiencies. But at least those in the House of Representatives have somewhat of a moral compass, as all 405 elected, both Democrat and Republican, voted unanimously to pass a Secret Service protection bill for people like Donald Trump, a rare bipartisan effort to boost protection for presidents, candidates for president, as well as vice president. The legislation surprisingly introduced by two New York Democrats. And then we get to the wars and the conflict abroad. Russia, Ukraine, buckle up. The Middle East, here we go again. News coming down yesterday that the United States will be sending more troops to the Middle East as the latest Israel-Hezbollah fighting is escalating to the brink of all-out regional war. And prior to this news yesterday, if you recall, we were told this back on September 10th during the debate between Trump and Kamala Harris. Listen and watch this.
And as of today, there is not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone in any war zone around the world, the first time this century.
Of course, that went unfact-checked by the ABC News moderators. And as we know, as ABC's own Martha Raddatz had to fact-check her own people, there are currently approximately 3,500 troops deployed in active combat zones around the world. It was a lie then. It's even more of a lie now, as that clip has not aged well, as now we have more troops going to the Middle East. And can someone explain to me what exactly Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro was doing yesterday in Scranton with Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky? I want you to watch this clip on YouTube. There's really not any audio. You'll see what's about to occur here. Let's roll this, Phil. Shapiro autographing shells to be used in Ukraine as Zelensky looks on with a grin on his face. And this was at an artillery shell plant in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So we now have Zelensky essentially endorsing the Harris Walls campaign and then yucking it up with the guy that Kamala snubbed because I personally believe he's Jewish. Does that sit well with you? It doesn't sit well with me, because the Democrats have become the party of funding endless wars, censorship, and weaponized government. Is this all going down now, 6 weeks out, to give a boost to the odds of Harris being reelected as she goes from Veep to POTUS? And how does America get behind this? If you're an American voter watching what we just showed you, how do you get on board with that? Because with the other guy who keeps getting shot at, we didn't have any of this. And it would end quick, fast, and in a hurry if he's back in office. It's also probably why they want him dead. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by Budget Blinds. If you're ready for fall, well, they are too. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, Custom drapery and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation today. And the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business when you schedule your consultation. Ask about their special radio offer. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in on the latest Trump revelations, as well as the escalating conflict globally and our country's involvement, you can do so. Also on social media at 1210WPHT, or let it rip in the YouTube chat. We're back after this live on a Tuesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, it's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kind of a bounce around day. I know we were like super in the weeds yesterday on the election, mail-in ballots, early voting, voting shenanigans, things like that. So more of a diverse show today, at least from a content standpoint. But I do want to start with the big take. Dawn, your thoughts, because, and again, I don't know if what Matt Gaetz is saying is accurate. I have no idea who the senior official that came to his office, but that is a startling revelation that I think should be more headline grabbing and more headline worthy. Five assassination teams in the United States to kill Donald Trump, three of which are foreign, two of which are domestic. Not sure which one, when you split the hairs there, is more scary. But it's scary to me from the standpoint, and of course everything that's going on globally. But like, if you think that, you know, this would just end once Trump wins or loses November 5th or November 8th or 35 days later when they finally figure out who won the thing, I don't think it's going to ever stop. Like, this is not just a scare tactic to get him out of office. Luckily, like, if he wins, I think for the next 4 years, there will be continual attempts on his life. Same thing if he loses. I mean, there's still sick people out there, like this Ryan Ruth guy, that 3 years from now, if Trump loses, I mean, he could be eating a burger on a golf course patio and some nut jobs in a tree hut. So I'm not sure how much this concerns you or the wars that are getting escalated with Zelensky in the Middle East, but I'll give you your crack at all these conflicts, foreign and abroad.
Well, remember two things that I will say. So yesterday, Matt Gaetz releasing that statement based on a whistleblower who is saying this. But it doesn't surprise me, because we know that, for example, Chris Wray with the FBI, mm-hmm. he had confirmed that we have in our country, that we know of, 300 at least individuals on the terror watch list, and they caught about 200 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to the other 100 guys that they know about? And that's just a guesstimate. And when I heard that, I thought, well, that's quite a guesstimate. You know, I might think like, oh, there are a lot of things you might guesstimate about.
Yeah.
But that one, I think, is kind of important. So
right.
Where are these other, you know, 100 people, individuals on a terror watch list in, mm-hmm. in the world? Not American citizens, but people who came across the Biden-Harris crosswalk. It's not a border. Number one. So where are those people? Then as far as the number two with this, I would say, what about the guy who we don't hear about, the July 12th arrest, a man with clear ties, flew into the country, had a home in Houston, right? Had clear ties, spent a lot of time in Tehran, in Iran. And that guy was here to hire hitmen to kill Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question was, well, they got him, they arrested him because he had, among the people he called, one of them, thank God, was an informant. He wasn't a federal agent. He was just an informant who then told, you know, the feds.
Mm-hmm.
But how many other people did he actually get a hold of?
Yeah.
And he was offering them big bucks, mm-hmm. and allegedly backed by Iran. And so maybe he hired, I don't know, a handful of individuals.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm glad it's only five.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And there's two things based on what you said I want to follow up on. I love how you talked about Ray throwing out the loose number of, well, we think we got about two of the 300. That's like me saying, well, I think I got two of the three gardener snakes in the garage, honey. There's still 33% of them that might be out there. But I'm sure they know the exact count of people that they're going after for January 6th, because I would think that that's probably still mm-hmm. higher on their priority list. And then when we talk about, you know, these people that are coming through the southern border with terrorist ties, we're just assuming that these people, if these hit teams are out there from Pakistan, Iran, Ukraine, that they came through the southern border. I'll be very cryptic. I'll be very whatever the word you want to use is. How do we know that our own government didn't just bring them in here? Not through the southern border, but in some sort of clandestine operation overnight when it's dark out on a plane. We've already seen Biden and Harris and that administration flying people all throughout the country at night and putting migrants in random cities. How do we not know that this is a complete government orchestrated operation? That's the scary part of this. And I just look at the timing of all of this as Zelensky's here with that little smirk on his face. By the way, every time I see Zelensky and he's got a grin on his face, like I just want to give him like one of those little backhands. This guy has been being funneled money and weaponry now for closing in on 3 years. And then Shapiro is there autographing the shells. Our buddy Richard Notaro sends us a tweet just now. He says, signing shells that will kill combatants with which we are not at war. Great. A total D move by Josh Shapiro. Also, why doesn't he sign munitions that will be used by the Israelis against their enemies? I don't know if you saw that video. I know I played it in the Big Take yesterday. It just didn't sit well with me. I'm like, the Democrats are absolutely the party of war right now. Which, again, I think of the timing of all of this. You've got war going after Trump. We've got war escalating to even higher levels. And always keep in mind that, like, Trump was a peacetime president. You say it all the time, peace and prosperity. And I really do believe, amongst many reasons, that is one of the top three reasons that they want him dead. Because he is impacting the military-industrial complex's bottom line. He's bad for business if you're in the business of war. And I think that's a big reason why they want him out of the equation.
And so the reason that Governor Josh Shapiro was there is we have, you know, this huge munitions plant that's here in PA. So it's great to celebrate jobs. But, yeah, to bring Zelensky to the plant. And then it was a lot of people thought it was bizarre that they were autographing the ballistics that they create. That was, I think, a bad look. And that's not usual for Josh Shapiro, who's a local guy and we've known him. I think it was bizarre. But I will say that as well, Zelensky, the reason he's here, obviously the UN is convening, and this will be Biden's last speech today addressing the UN. But yeah, I think we have to think about the fact that it was the phone call with Zelensky that, remember, it was a perfectly legal phone call with Zelensky. That was the one with Trump that they claimed, Liz Cheney and crew claimed.
That's the one our buddy Sean Farish always imitates as the perfect phone call.
The perfect. And it was a perfectly legal phone call. Technically, it was, if you look at it, you might not like some of the language, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was legal. It was determined to be legal. But that was the excuse to launch, you know, impeachment against Trump. So it's kind of ironic, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And then we get more updates yesterday from Ryan Ruth and that letter. I read you the letter. You saw the visual. Nice job, Phil, putting up the graphic of that letter. I know, Stalker, you said you had some thoughts that it was like legit Democrat copy points from MSNBC.
Threat to democracy. They could have been written, you know, he's making us unsafe around the world. It could have been written by
Jayapal or Crockett.
By a scriptwriter at NBC or MSNBC.
Yep. So some of the updated details, this courtesy of the Palm Beach Post, which obviously is the jurisdiction in which this incident occurred two Sundays ago. They say, as it stands, the 58-year-old Ruth faces a maximum of 20 years in prison for two federal firearms offenses. Assistant U.S. Attorney Mark Despoto said Monday that additional evidence collected in the wake of Ruth's arrest, including that handwritten letter detailing an attempt to kill Trump, supports a far more serious charge. Despoto said the government will convene a grand jury in hopes of indicting Ruth on one count of attempting to kill a major political candidate, which is punishable by life in prison. Yesterday, the federal prosecutor gave U.S. District Judge Ryan McCabe an overview of the new evidence against Ruth during a pre-detention hearing. His presentation included anecdotes from an e-book that Ruth wrote in February of 2023, a year and a half before investigators say he aimed that semi-automatic rifle across Trump International Golf Club. In the book titled Ukraine's Unwinnable War, Ruth said he felt partly to blame for having elected a president who, quote, ended up being brainless, quote, I am man enough to say, and this is Ruth in this ebook and these follow-up documents that have been found, I am man enough to say that I misjudged and made a terrible mistake, and Iran, I apologize. You are free to assassinate Trump as well as me for that error in judgment and dismantling of the deal. No one here in the U.S. seems to have the balls to put natural selection to work, or even unnatural selection. There's a few other details. These letters, apparently, especially the one that we showed you and I read from in the big take, were in a box that Ruth dropped off at the witness's home in North Carolina several months prior to the assassination attempt. The witness, who was in possession, opened the box after learning of Ruth's arrest. Inside, he found ammunition, a metal pipe, miscellaneous building materials, tools, four cell phones, and various letters, one addressed to the world that we just read for you. Ruth's team of public defenders quoted parts of the letter that DeSpoto left out, and Ruth wrote the following, quote, while I sit at the big house, I'm willing to pay the price. The writer also said his actions, quote, would make a few more people to stop and think about how wonderful our democracy is. According to the data retrieved, and this is the other scary part, from the cell phone, Ruth went to Trump International Golf Club and Mar-a-Lago multiple times during the month before the attempted assassination. So this guy had an orchestrated plan. From what we also gather, he had like a sniper's nest that was set up in those weeds. He was eating prepackaged sausages. Like, this guy was ready to go, and this guy is very, very mentally disturbed. From the Ukraine writings to, oh, by the way, Iran, this guy is apologizing to a nation like Iran, and then thinking he's in some power position of, it's okay, I grant you the ability to do the job that I couldn't do. Like, if you're Donald Trump right now, you got to be very, very thankful that House bill, which I mentioned in the big take, was unanimously passed. Because I played you the clips like, Hank Johnson and those other squad Dems that were like, oh, no, we're not going to stop calling him a threat. He is a threat. He is. We're calling a spade a spade. Yet, thankfully, it was unanimous. And I'm honestly a little surprised because I wasn't paying attention to that vote Friday before they broke for the weekend. And I saw it on Saturday, Sunday. We didn't get to it yesterday, so we got to it today. It would not have surprised me, Dawn Stenslin, if some of those Democrats in the House that really view him to be a, quote, threat to democracy, or they at least keep insinuating and calling him that, would have voted against this. Now, this still has to go to Chuck Schumer and others to make it official. And, by that point, Trump could be out of the political spectrum. But it's like one final positive bipartisan act where, like, we shouldn't even have to celebrate this, or this should be like a common vote. And it shouldn't even make the news cycle because we should all be on board with that, right? Like, we have to protect, Republican or Democrat, by the way, although nobody seems to go after a Democrat, not that I'm encouraging that. It's very one way in regards to protecting Trump. But it should be a story today that 405-0. When's the last time we've seen anything go 405-0? Almost never happens.
Well, this was all part of Congress averting the shutdown. So it has to do with the larger budget. And I think they love to have things like this in the headlines because then we don't look at what else they threw in there.
Good point. Distraction, right?
Yep. So we're all distracted because that's always the game plan.
Yep.
Hey, this will really grab some headlines with all this assassination stuff in the headlines. So they'll be looking at that and they won't see all the pork that we put in there,
Right.
To enrich ourselves or our families or our communities, et cetera.
And then lastly, the great news yesterday, and I said this would happen, but I predicted this would be his final campaign stop. I said weeks ago, if not over a month ago, or maybe it was even 2 months ago, it's early August, that if I'm Trump, not only do I go back to Butler, PA, but I make it my last stop, the last time you see me. Like, I think I said something to the effect of, have an iconic, indelible moment, and then go dark for 5 days. Like Kamala Harris studying for a final exam or a debate. Just don't, just go completely off the grid. But it was announced yesterday, according to sources, still not 100% verified, but I believe this is a formality, that Trump will go back to Butler, Pennsylvania for a rally next month.
Next,
10 days, 11 days from now. October 5th, exactly 1 month from Election Day. I think that's one of the most badass flexes of all time. A place where you damn near got your head blown off, and he's going to go back.
You may recall I had requested that date because that's our bye week in football.
Did you really? So,
yeah, remember that?
No, I don't, but I'm going to take your,
Greg,
your
do
word
you remember?
For it.
I don't.
Yeah.
I believe
Look at you making political
I'm
calendar.
Invisible.
You made political predictions based on a football bye week.
No, I just said
that's a beautiful concept.
I just, because we had said that Greg had said that he was going to, we were going to have like a bus or something, a Kale and Company, WPHT.
Yeah, we were
going
to.
Now that he doesn't remember anything I say, I'm just going to make it up and go with it.
He did say a lot of things.
He said road trip for remote. Road trip remote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. You did say that.
And Road Warrior's been tweeting us pictures of old VW Partridge family minivans.
Oh, my gosh.
Saying Kale and Company road trip.
I love him. That's my
buddy.
I
know. He's the best Road Warrior.
So that's one receipt that he's got accurate, unlike my New York claim about Trump.
But did I say that we're going to do a live broadcast?
Yeah. Oh, well, you said we would go.
Yep.
What's October 5th? What's the date of that? Or what's the day?
I'll go Saturday.
It's a Saturday. Yeah. It's the bye week.
Mm. I'm going to need a talent fee for a Saturday.
I was just going to say, does anybody want to give up a Saturday?
Hold on, let me see who
I'll give it up.
Who's Alabama?
I would love to
who's
go.
Alabama play?
Stop.
I'll get back to you guys.
The bus. We'll have like a satellite on top of the Scooby-Doo, Partridge Family, whatever bus.
Yeah. And, yep.
You know.
So I'm looking forward to that. Donald Trump saying he's, quote, excited to go back for a big, beautiful rally, and he will be honoring Corey Comparator, the former chief of the fire department who died during the shooting, and the two others who were injured when the gunman opened fire. According to the Trump campaign, not immediately clear where the rally will take place, if it will be at the same venue. But I'll make one prediction. That rooftop that little coward Crooks was laying on, it's going to be covered this time.
Yeah, they should go back.
If not, I'll lay there.
Yeah, that's WP. We should, and Talk Radio 12, we should be up there.
Yeah, we put Dawn up there, Dawn with a scope.
Right? And we'll have like bulletproof MAGA mama bustiers. You know, we'll get Susie Cool. We'll get a whole group. But seriously, we should be on the rooftop.
Yeah.
That way we take up the space and we'll, like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Cover the roof.
And maybe we'll actually have people with radios and communication that can do their job and relay information in real time, unlike these stooges that, for some reason, we had a communications deficiency. It's unacceptable.
You know, you think about Trump, and just back to your big take and looking, zooming out for a moment, looking at all of this. Why? Who wants to get him? Why? You think about, we talk about the industrial war complex, all of that. But every rally, he talks about the fact how much Iran, when he was president, was broke.
Mm-hmm.
And he called all of our business partners, even China, you buy oil from them and we're done. And so he dried up their resources. So this is, when you zoom out on this, why do they not want Trump? Why is the focus right now, right before the election, to take out Trump? I believe it's because this is Iran-backed. In my mind, it's very obvious.
It very well be.
Because it's all about the money.
Yep.
You look at how wealthy they have become during the Biden-Harris administration, and their money and their resources had dried up under Trump. They do not want him.
Yep. Follow the money. Chris Eppolito says, I call shotgun in regards to the ride to
You're the man.
Butler.
You're the man.
Dawn's going to fire up the MAGA minivan.
Woo!
We're all heading to Butler.
That's right. Road trip.
855-839-1210. Who needs Alan Lichtman and his record when you have cookies in Ohio? The details coming up next. But first, a word from the Piazza Auto Group. Piazza Volkswagen. Ah, yes. Not the Volkswagen that Road Warrior sent us on Twitter, but we're talking about the 2024 Tiguan. This spacious SUV, perfect for a road trip to Butler, by the way, can seat up to 7 passengers thanks to its available third row. It's the rage of society today. Everybody's looking for the third row. It's equipped with a suite of helpful tech features designed to make driving and parking easier. Right now, the Tiguan could be yours at 0% financing for 60 months or lease it for as low as 2.99% and $299 a month for 36 months. Visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore and Langhorne for details and tell them that Nick sent you, or you can shop the Tiguan and other VW models online at PiazzaVW.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Just to wrap up the hour, a little lighthearted fun. You know, we had our story from Hatboro with the bakery, with the Trump and Kamala election cookies, and Sarah Weiss providing us with those delicious treats. But in Cincinnati, there's a bakery that might have to tell Alan Lichtman, the great prognosticator of elections, to hold their beer, or their cookie in this case, because they've been doing a cookie poll since 1984. Again, the greatest year ever created, 1984. Never forget it, folks, 40 years ago. And in this cookie poll, over the last 40 years, they've only got one election wrong as well. And right now, if you're tracking, great funny story from the New York Post, Donald Trump leads Kamala Harris in the beloved Cincinnati bakery cookie poll, 54% to 39%, as Donald Trump has had 2,953 cookies sold to Kamala Harris's 2,134 cookies. And by the way, the math doesn't add up, right? You're saying 54, 39. 7% are purchasing independent cookies, 397 of those. The cookie poll will remain open until Election Day on November 5th. So we've got early cookie precinct reporting as the tallies reflect the result of early voting for those with a sweet tooth. So there you go. You can go for another cookie. We need another food drop. We need those once a week. All right, that'll do it for the 6 o'clock hour. We'll come back. Dawn will have some news to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. And then I want to get to this Tim Wall story, as well as a big victory for AM radio. If you've been listening to this show for the last 6 to 9 months, we've given you updates every time there's new details when it, you know, revolves around the future of our format on one specific band, and it was almost unanimous, 45-2. The details when we come back. Kale and Company Hour 2 is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.